So this is a very nice discussion dealing with the different types of knowledge. Everyone in the material world wants to be cognizant. This is the very nature of the soul. We all want to be cognizant. Cognizance is generally seen as, of course, consciousness. Everybody is trying to expand consciousness. The whole material world is an attempt to expand consciousness. Consciousness is there in all different types of bodies. In every different types of living entity, there is some consciousness. And within that particular body, there is a limited exhibition of consciousness. That's why we see that this is called struggle for existence. The actual struggle for existence is the conditional state of consciousness. All of these different types of bodies are simply different material conditions, which actually have nothing to do with consciousness. You say, actually, matter has nothing to do with consciousness. That's why if you separate consciousness from matter, matter becomes totally useless. It has no more significance. You see, the idea of the materialist is that consciousness is somehow manifested through matter, by matter, by a combination of some material, some chemical, molecular or whatever you want to call it. They feel that by some sort of physical interaction, it produces consciousness. But the proof of that is that they've never actually produced consciousness. We have no example. Prabhupada gives an example that even a mosquito, which is a very tiny body, it doesn't take a lot to really put together a mosquito. But at the same time, the beauty of the mosquito is its consciousness. It has the conscious ability to actually land, and it performs so many wonderful activities, but the business is the same, of course, getting blood. So the thing is that the scientists have never actually been able to prove that consciousness, how it is produced. Actually, they don't even get involved with consciousness. They don't even get involved. Because to them, consciousness is an area that they know absolutely nothing about. Because consciousness cannot be approached by material perception. Anyone who has a little intelligence can understand that the senses are material, and therefore they can only approach actually gross objects. When it comes to subtle objects such as air, ether, mind, intelligence, ego, they have no actual, they have no actual way of measuring. There's no way of measuring subtlety. You can acknowledge subtlety, that it exists, only when it's manifested through gross matter. In other words, when something, when the air is blowing through your body or through a forest or some leaves are scattered or some plastic bag or whatever is flying around, then you can understand that the air is there. But in actuality, in this room now, can you see the air? But air is there also, just as much as in a hurricane or a wind or anything. So the thing is that therefore our sensory perception has to be understood to be extremely limited, very, very limited. And because of that, the living entity is always searching for knowledge. Of course, knowledge in the material world is relative knowledge. It's related to the particular type of body you have. So if you've got a hog body, then you're going to be looking for objects which stimulate pleasure in the senses, which may be in the form of stool and female hog or something like that, or you may have some children. But you can see how very, very limited the different types of bodies are, because each type of body is a limited restriction on consciousness. So therefore, the human form of life, because it's the highest development of consciousness, it naturally invokes this tendency It naturally invokes this tendency to search after higher knowledge. In other words, that we want to be cognizant. We want to be cognizant of our predicament, our environment. We want to know further. We want to know how to manipulate that environment so as to bring about the highest types of pleasure, the most succulent types of pleasure, which are available in within our jurisdiction. So therefore, the whole misdirection of consciousness in the material world is in the form of, what do you call it, materialistic advancement. Of course, in Shastra, it's giving us dharma, atta, kama, moksha. Atta, kama, actually kama is the predominance of the material world. All the different types of bodies are based upon kama. Kama means sense gratification. And the human form of life, because it's such a wonderful development, that it allows the living entity to search after artha, which is economic development. Artha, and of course dharma. Dharma is economic development in a higher plane. You see, what we call this, that's why Krishna says, sarva dharma prachaja, because all that the so-called religiosity is that when we fail to be able to create a situation within the material environment which can bring about lasting happiness or even a possibility of satisfying our senses, we then try to project that onto a higher plane and hope that when we achieve that higher plane, all of those things which we couldn't adjust with our consciousness down here will be automatically adjusted up there. Doesn't matter who adjusts them, really. We put the name God because God is probably going to do a better job than we are. But actually, most people, they're not really worried if God is up there when they get there. What they're worried about is the environment, the conditions, the type of sense gratification that is going to be available on that higher plane. So therefore, because the living entity is more intelligent in the human form of life, that's why it says atata brahma jignasya. Tata means now there is the possibility. There is the possibility of searching out Brahman, of understanding God. Brahman means actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the human form of life is a wonderful opportunity. But at the same time, when actually people do search out God, they tend to bring with them the uselessness of this material world to that higher plane. Just like Prabhupada gives example, if you took a hog to heaven, he'd still look for stool. He'd still want to chase after little female piggies. And he'd still want little children. And the example was of that was Indra, when he became cursed to become a hog by Brihaspati. Actually, he didn't want to go back to the heavenly planets because he couldn't bring his children with him and his wife. So even though he's Indra, the Lord of Heaven, he could not adjust to that idea of leaving his predicament or his environment. So the thing is that the natural conditional state of the living entity causes him to actually try to project onto the transcendental plane the same type of thing that's going on here, which is actually exploitation. That's all it is.